It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Happy Monday to you. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. It's November 11th already. How the hell did we... Hickey, Halloween was almost 2 weeks ago already?
Crazy, right?
Oh, my God. I saw two Christmas trees here at a restaurant on the way upstairs.
The ads are now also coming in as well on TV and everything. It's Christmas season is basically here whether you want it to be or not.
Yeah, make sure you buy something. We'll do that later. Well, you can buy stuff, but make sure you listen while you do it. You can always tune into the show starting at 6 p.m. Eastern and 3 Pacific. We talked some college football right before we went to break. Georgia Bulldogs stink. Colorado, yeah, they're good. They're 7-2, but they're probably getting hyped up more than they need to be. And BYU, another team, getting hyped up, but they'll probably make the playoff. We'll see what happens. There's so much to get into. Indiana's still undefeated, 10-0. Hey, how about this? You don't have to wait too much longer. Brian Fisher from NBC Sports, he's going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk some more college football action. We got more NFL action, Monday Night Football. The Miami Dolphins are in Los Angeles getting ready to take on the Rams. If you were worried about Tyreek Hill, he's going to play. Tyreek Hill didn't practice at the end of last week with the Dolphins due to a wrist injury. Tyreek Hill is going to be in action tonight in Los Angeles. We'll see what he's able to do. A guy with his speed, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Unfortunately, he only has one receiving touchdown this year. And pretty much charged that to Tua Tagovailoa and his concussions and all the other ass quarterbacks that he's had to play with. But all things considered, at least Tyreek Hill is, at minimum, a great decoy for the Miami Dolphins. We'll keep you up to date on that game as it gets started in about an hour from now, wrapping up another week of the NFL season. I told you about Brian Fisher joining us in about 20 minutes. And there's more that we need to get into. You know, we had some great football. We talked about the Lions. Super Bowl contenders. We know the Lions were going to be Super Bowl contenders coming into this year. And they're living up to the hype. They're living up to the billing. We know that. And then also another good game. I was waiting for this one. We talked about it on Friday. I wanted to see what the Steelers and the Commanders were going to do. And they gave us a good one. We're going to talk about that game in a second. I want to pick this up on a conversation we had right before we went to break. As we talked about how Alabama beat LSU. Hickey, you said the Tiger was there, right? I know that. And like PETA is now after LSU, right? Or the whole state of Louisiana?
Could be the whole state, but yeah, definitely the university. Wow. Clearly, right? They would be upset by that. Now, I have to double check. So I don't want to say this is factual, and maybe I should have done my research before throwing this out there. But apparently, from what I've read, the Tiger came from out-of-state territory.
Wait a minute. They got a Tiger that has nothing to do with Louisiana?
I have to confirm, but that is what the early indications were, that the sanctuary, they got the Tiger from, they had to cross state lines.
They brought him from, like, Mississippi or something like that, huh? Okay.
Which I think is even worse than when you look at what they are doing and how they played. You got what you asked for.
Good. Yeah. Hope LSU loses all of his games the rest of the year. Only a few left. Hope they lose them just because of that stupid Tiger thing. And in other animal news, because the JR Sport Brief Show has turned into Jack Hanna's Animal Adventures. Hickey, they caught, last I looked, it was maybe like late last night or this morning. They caught 25 of those 43 monkeys.
Wow.
Yeah, 25 of them.
That's impressive so far.
Yeah, just to catch them and put needles in them and try to solve stuff. I mean, guess whatever, right?
So just about half the monkeys have been caught in less than a week. I would say so far so good, no?
Yeah, 30. Yeah, there's only 13. Hey, the AP gave us a great update. And 13 monkeys still outside, uh-huh.
So that means if you live in the town, you still got to be inside, right? I mean, 13 is still a good amount.
What is a monkey going to do? Slap you in the back of the head?
Bite you?
Bite you.
Who the hell knows what's in them right now? They're a testing facility.
I don't know. As of Monday afternoon, 30 of the 43 monkeys that made it out are back. Okay. Most, if not all, of the monkeys appeared to stay close to the compound. They cooed at the monkeys remaining inside and interacted with the primates still inside the fence. Vets have been examining the animals that were brought back, and initial reports indicate they are all in good health. Okay. All right. Efforts to recover all the monkeys will continue for as long as it takes. All right. The monkeys are about the size of a cat. All right. Good for them. All right. Any other questions, Hickey? We got some. Is there any other animals we need to know about?
Not that I'm aware of. By the way, I was able to confirm the tiger came from Florida.
Bro.
So they brought the tiger out of state.
Are you kidding me? And it's not like they put him on a plane.
Right.
They took this tiger. They ran this tiger from Florida. I don't know what. Georgia. Mississippi. Louisiana. They made this tiger drive God knows how many hours. This is like a 15 hours minimum, depending on where in Florida. Maybe, you know, maybe not that long. But, yeah, this is a day drive at minimum. Come on, man. What? Do you know what city this tiger came from?
I have to look it up right now. Do you know? I didn't realize this. It makes sense why you didn't see it on TV. Do you want to take a guess? The tiger's name is Omar. How long Omar was actually on the field for?
Oh, my God. Hickey, I'm looking at this now. Omar Bradley, owned by Florida resident Mitchell Cominson, was brought out in an enclosed cage with a black curtain before the stadium lights went dark and a spotlight flashed onto the cage as it was unveiled. Oh, my God. Oh, Hickey, what was your question to me again? I'm sorry.
It's okay. How long the tiger was Omar was actually on the field for?
30 minutes?
Seven.
They rolled him out, put a light, shine a light on him, and then rolled him out?
All for 7 minutes.
Oh, my God. What
of,
a waste.
Of action.
Oh, my God.
Trying to pull up a map here to see where this... where the tiger actually came from.
LSU fans divided over live tiger at football game. LSU criticized after bringing cage live tiger into stadium before defeat to Alabama. LSU taxpayers, LSU didn't pay for tiger at Alabama game. Oh, okay. All right, whatever. The governor said, that's what the governor said. So where'd the money come from? The office declined to answer. Oh, my God.
Hmm.
Oh, what? We don't got better things to do? I mean, Louisiana, I love Louisiana. I love LSU. They ain't got nothing better to do than waste people's times with a tiger just to show him for 7 seconds. You put a tiger in a back of a truck and wheeled him from Florida to Louisiana, and I'm sure his ass went back. They need to do that to the governor, Hickey. Like, stick his silly ass in a cage and wheel him back and forth between states and see how he likes it.
Put him in a cage, put a spotlight on him, have people yelling at him and screaming. I agree.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, I'm not. If PETA wants to go after them for this one, I give PETA all the rights in the world. PETA can do what they need to do. Good for LSU, you losers. Good to see Alabama and Milrow running all over y'all. Good. Good. Anyway, we got Brian Fisher joining us from NBC Sports. He'll be here in about 12 minutes from now. And speaking of running all over somebody, they didn't run all over them, but they got the W. Congratulations to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hickey, I think I'm a Steelers fan. I think, Hickey, I like the Steelers more than I like the Jets. Not true, but I think... No, I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah,
do you have a terrible towel ready to wave?
Nah, I don't. Willie Colon is a buddy of mine from the same neighborhood. Met a couple of, you know, Hines Ward. I'm cool with Hines. Hines is a good dude. I met Franco years ago. It was nice to meet Franco at the time. I like the color. I like how they play. I like how they play for Coach Tomlin. I like the style, aggressive. I'm not really a fan of Russell Wilson, but I appreciate what he's done with his comeback so far. And so yesterday, the Steelers beat Washington 28-27. In hilarious fashion, the game was pretty much decided when Russell Wilson threw a bomb to Mike Williams, the same Mike Williams that Aaron Rodgers did not want and decided to throw under the bus when he ran the wrong route. I got air quotes in there. And so as the New York Jets were getting their asses whooped in Arizona, you know, right before that, Mike Williams was coming down with a game-winning catch for the Steelers. And Washington, we knew this, they're not there yet. They fall to 7-3. The Eagles jump them in the NFC East standings because the Eagles, they went to town on the Dallas Cowboys. And we'll get to that later. The Steelers have won four straight. That was Mike Williams' only catch, a 32-yard reception. Russell Wilson threw three touchdowns. And if you really want to see what the Steelers do as their schedule gets tougher, man, they got Baltimore next. And so Russell Wilson, this man just showed up and he is already showing out. Russell Wilson is like, man, yeah, I just got here, but who doesn't want a game-winning touchdown? Listen to this guy.
You got to love clutch moments. You know, when you get guys that can make plays and do things for you. You know, first of all, Big Mike over there, just traded for him. You know, he's a tremendous football player. We got GP on the right, Van on the right. You know those guys. You know, Pat showed up in big ways. I mean, just guys just stepped up in key moments, and just another great moment. You know, when you're playing a game, it's a collection of, I don't know, 75 plays, and you want to see how many great moments you can have. And when we had that one in the key part of the game, obviously.
Look at that, the GP George Pickens. By the way, it took me 2 seconds to figure that one out. Quite different from Aaron Rodgers' evaluation of Mike Williams. If you ever needed to, you know, hear the difference between two quarterbacks, as much as Russell Wilson sounds like everything is all well in the world and Aaron Rodgers sounds like everything is miserable in the world, you got to give Russell Wilson credit, man. He doesn't crap on nobody in public. Not like that Aaron Rodgers guy. And so these Steelers, they're on the up and up. They are going to make the playoffs. Now, am I expecting them to win the division? Hell no. And I know their schedule is going to get tough. But Mike Tomlin, looking at the team and how they fought back and bounced back against a young team and held Jaden Daniels to 5 rushing yards and no touchdowns, Mike Tomlin said everybody showed up and showed out.
My guys fought. They didn't blink. We got contributions in all three phases. We got contributions from old Steelers like Cam, has been around forever. We got contributions from new Steelers, man, like Mike Williams and Preston. And we're just appreciative of all parties involved. It's a good team win. When you're coming into an environment like this, man, and you find a way to get it done, not only is it a well-earned victory, man, but there's some real growth associated with it.
Yeah, they're good. And I'm happy that they can now be competitive with anybody because Russell Wilson can throw the football. Yeah, I don't think Justin Fields would have been throwing a rock around the way that he did yesterday. But I'll tell you this, it's not going to get easy for these Steelers. This is the best case scenario, what they've been able to do up until now. 7 wins to only 2 losses. It's not going to get easier. They have Baltimore next. Not easy. Cleveland. Oh, okay. Cincinnati. Yeah, they're not good on paper with the record, but they're going to compete with anybody. They got Cleveland again. They have Philadelphia, surging right now. They have Baltimore again. Then they have Kansas City. And then they end against Cincinnati, which at that point in the final game of the season, Cincinnati will also not quit at all. It looks like Washington is coming back to a little bit of a reality that they'll probably be fighting for a wild card spot. And then the Steelers, they'll get to the playoffs. Hopefully they don't tank on the way there. This is a tough schedule the rest of the way. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Matt is calling us from Arkansas. You're on the JR Sportbrief Show. What's up, Matt?
Hey, JR. How are you doing, bud?
I'm very well. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I talked to you last Friday, and we were talking about the Toyota Sienna and the McLaren.
Yeah,
I know. Jaden Daniels, my goodness sakes. But before I get going.
No, you got to get going quick.
Ole Miss and Georgia. Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
Well, thank you, Matt, for calling from Arkansas. I don't know what that comment means. We saw Ole Miss beat up on Georgia. Hickey, you said before he was going to get going. Was that the whole thing he planned, or did he forget the rest of it?
I guess he meant get going, like not getting started, but actually leaving.
Okay.
Yeah, that was interesting. There was no real opinion there. It was just a few words put together.
Well, the way that he was going or the way he started, I'm glad. Okay. let's put it that way. I'm glad he stopped by and he left. Well, thank you so much. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to dive into some more college football, as Matt from Arkansas just brought up. We're going to have a chat with Brian Fisher from NBC Sports. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time to talk with someone who is very prolific about some of the prolific victories that we saw this past Saturday in college football. Joining us right now via NBC Sports, covers all things college football, is Brian Fisher. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. Speaking of prolific, we saw a lot of interesting wins, to say the least, this past Saturday. We saw Alabama beat up on LSU. We saw Ole Miss, you know, beat the Bulldogs. We saw Colorado and get people hyped about a potential college football playoff appearance. What victory over this past weekend really caught your eye?
I think it was that Ole Miss win over Georgia. You know, look, this is probably the biggest win of Lane Kiffin's career, you know, when you kind of pull back out of things. And look, this is a significant one in terms of Ole Miss kind of reaching that promised land that they really, you know, ponied up the roster for in terms of making the college football playoff, because you have to have those marquee victories. And this was a dominant effort by the Rebels. You know, I think they definitely surprised a lot of folks with their defense against the Bulldogs there. But, you know, this was a gritty victory, and you kind of saw just how aggressive they were on both sides of the ball. And that paid out with a marquee win down there in Oxford. And I think when we go back into those college football playoff rankings on Tuesday, I think Ole Miss is probably going to be one of the biggest risers in the eyes of the committee, because while the metrics say this is a very good team, and now they kind of have that resume win to go with that ranking that they should have on tomorrow.
So, Brian, what does this mean for the Bulldogs when it comes down to the playoff? They can't afford, obviously, to lose another game, but do they got to stuff Carson Beck in a closet? Like, what do they do to fix things the rest of the way?
Well, it starts this weekend in a big game in Athens against Tennessee. I mean, that is basically a playoff elimination game, probably for both sides, and certainly for Georgia. You know, they have played a tough schedule, and I think the committee has recognized that. You know, the fact that they've gone on the road and they do have a big win over a team that in Texas that was number one in the nation at the time. You know, had that thrilling second half at Alabama. So, like, they've played a very good schedule, but you know, those two losses, that's definitely weighing them down. And I think for Kirby Smart, this is not the Bulldogs type of program that we're used to seeing. Certainly the turnovers out of Carson Beck have been a big issue, but it starts up front. The offensive line has not played as well. The defense outside of that game in Austin against Texas, you know, really they have not performed up to the standards that Kirby Smart has really set for that program. You know, they've gotten pressure on quarterbacks here or there, but it's not been consistent. And certainly the back end in the secondary has not played with, you know, to the level that you would expect given the amount of talent that is on that roster. So big thing for Georgia, I think, going into this game against Tennessee is can they play like they're used to playing? And we really have seen just an up and down type of program for them going into a lot of these games. You know, they've been favored. They haven't really played well. And so it's going to be curious as they get back home there in Athens between the hedges. You know, can they have a complete four-quarter victory? Because they really haven't this year.
Brian Fisher joining us, covers all things college football. Staying in the SEC, we saw what Alabama just did to LSU. Stomped them out 42-13. Milroe ran wild, almost 200 yards to go along with four touchdowns. Does this move Alabama further back up into the mix?
Well, I think they were always kind of in the mix to coming into this game, but this was a complete four-quarter victory that you can see that this is what that roster is capable of. And I think that's the biggest thing for Alabama for so long, I think for these last couple of weeks. We've really judged them through the victory, through the eyes of that loss to Vanderbilt versus the fact that they could go and beat Georgia, the fact that they could beat a team like LSU. And I think a lot of it does come down to Jalen Milroe and his ability to run the football. I think we saw him look fully healthy in that game against the Tigers, and you saw when he gets into the open space. I mean, he's a big guy. He's tough to bring down, and that's a difference maker when you've got to account for that quarterback run, and that opens up so many things. I think in the passing game, we saw that against LSU, and this is a team that, let's face it, they've gotten the benefit of the doubt under Nick Saban, and I think they're going to get the benefit of the doubt based on what we've seen these last couple of weeks as well. When they're healthy and when they're firing on all cylinders on offense, with Jalen Milroe contributing with that quarterback run game.
Well, Brian, moving over to the Big 12, we saw quite a lot of action. We have BYU, winning and beating Utah, and people are looking at them like they won a robbery. You got tortillas being thrown in Lubbock, Texas. We got BYU undefeated. Colorado is right behind them. We got a bunch of other 7-2 teams. How do you think this Big 12 is going to shake out?
I don't know. I think that's the thing about this league is, I've said all year long that this is kind of the coin flip league of all coin flip leagues, because that basically seems like that's what every game is. I mean, who had Kansas, finally putting together a performance capable of beating an Iowa State this past weekend like they did. I think outside of the Jayhawks, probably not a whole lot of folks, but just the fact that every single game seems to come down to one or two possessions in that fourth quarter, I mean, that just kind of underscores the parity in the Big 12. And, I mean, even a team like Kansas State, I know they're sitting out there in the top 20 of the rankings, but they still got a shot to win the league. They need some breaks to kind of go their way. But it really is kind of a pick-your-poison type of thing every Saturday in terms of who's going to get that upset, who's going to end up, emerging or getting that lucky bounce of the football. And, certainly BYU did on Saturday there in the Holy War against Utah. We've seen Colorado start to play a lot cleaner and put together some more consistent performances. This has always been, kind of such an up and down league. Maybe no elite team necessarily in the Big 12 this year, but they've got a lot of teams that are closely grouped, and it's certainly amped up the drama as you kind of get into the mix for the college football playoff, with a lot of these contenders closing out the schedule with some very difficult games here in November and into December.
Well, Brian, we know we're going to get that next edition pretty much dropping exactly 24 hours from now when it comes to the next college football playoff rankings. A lot of people looked at Indiana. They're now 10-0. A lot of people looked at BYU and what they did. They are still a perfect 9-0. Do you think the way the system is currently set up is fair? Because as you just mentioned, we have a weaker conference here in the Big 12 that automatically, gets a little bit of a pass to start things off. Does that need to get adjusted into the future?
Well, I think everybody's still kind of feeling out the system. And frankly, I mean, the playoff format after these next 2 years is not necessarily locked in to how it could be. We could get an expansion up to 14 teams possibly, and that's something the commissioners have also discussed. And look, it's for moments like this. And this is what the committee is there to do. It's to determine, who's the best team. You look at Indiana and you bring them up. I think they're the perfect test case in terms of the schedule and the resume are not quite there, but the fact that the Hoosiers are pretty much blowing everybody's doors off, this is a very good football team. I think you kind of got to thread that needle a little bit. That's why in these unbalanced leagues, in these unbalanced conference schedules, it is important for the committee to kind of look at who you've played, how you've played them. And I think they're doing their best job. They don't have all the data points, certainly as they kind of get into the stretch run here in the season. But, you would hope if you're the ACC, if you're in the Big 12 right now, they are valuing, a lot of those wins. But at the end of the day, it's hard to deny that a team like Alabama, a team like Ole Miss, a team like Georgia are not playing more difficult schedules. And that's just a simple fact in terms of what you see on the field. And so I think it's up to the committee to kind of weigh a lot of those factors. I think ultimately things tend to take care of themselves down these stretch runs. We've had it happen in the past, and I would expect that to happen, going down to the wire in these last couple of weeks of the season as well. And so going to make for a thrilling college football season either way.
Yeah, Brian Fisher is here with us, the JR Sport Re-Show, coast to coast. We got to talk about some teams that aren't doing so good, okay? We know that Billy Napier, he got a vote of confidence last week. Speaking of another Florida school, Florida State got smashed by Notre Dame 52-3. You got Norvell firing, both of his coordinators. I told you about LSU getting smashed. Which coach do you think is ultimately going to be relieved of his duties in a few weeks?
Well, I think Mike Norvell is in no danger of going anywhere. That buyout is kind of too big for Florida State to stomach. And look, the guy went undefeated last year in the regular season, with the Noles, and it was kind of a combination of factors in terms of bad evaluation, certainly from him and the coaching staff in terms of that roster. The coaching has not been there, the players, the talent there has not been there, and those are things that he has to fix. And I think they're still pulling up close to $8 or $9 million just in terms of getting rid of some of those assistants to make these changes. Staff change is probably not going to be the extent of things. Limited extent there in Tallahassee. I think Mike Norvell, he understands that this has definitely gone off the rails, and he's going to have to plow everything he's got and everything Florida State has into turning this ship around. And thankfully, in the transfer portal era, you can do that. You can have a roster that goes from one win to 10 wins to back to one win, and that's just kind of the thing that I think a lot of fans have to get used to on top of a lot of coaches, is that you can flip that roster in a hurry. And I would imagine, given how good they have been in the past coming into this year at evaluating transfers, at getting the right fits, finding some of those diamonds in the roughs from the lower levels, I would imagine Florida State can do that again and get back into contention again next year. But there's no doubt that the pressure is on for him to do that quickly. And the same in Baton Rouge with Brian Kelly. I mean, I think I wrote on Saturday night from that loss. He's consistently won the games that LSU is supposed to win. He has not won those big time games outside of maybe that Alabama game last year, or in 2022. He's not won consistently in terms of those games that he's supposed to do in the SEC, when you're possibly equal talent or maybe even at a little bit of a disadvantage. And those are the games that LSU is paying him to win. And that is something that he's got to get fixed. The talent level there is not as good as it should be. I think they're certainly ahead of where a team like Florida State is, but at the end of the day, it's still the same issue. Can you get the talent in the door and coach them up well enough in order to win those big-time games? And it certainly will be a pressure-packed 2025 for a lot of those coaches that you mentioned.
Oh, Brian, you talk about the transfer portal pretty much changing how a lot of teams can go about their business and move around. In Indiana, a prime example. But when you look at the parity that we have in college football right now, not expecting Alabama just to go ahead and steamroll through everybody, what are the teams that you legitimately feel have the best odds of winning the national championship?
Well, funny enough, I think they kind of played earlier, a couple weeks ago, in terms of Oregon and Ohio State. I think those are still the two most complete teams, if you ask me. I would definitely give Oregon the edge in that department, not just because they won, but I think the offensive line injuries that Ohio State has faced has definitely hampered them. If it were not for that, and if they were able to be a little bit more consistent up front, I would put Ohio State right there with the Ducks, especially given how close that game was up in Eugene. But I still think it's kind of those two. I would put Texas in that group just in terms of the consistency Steve Sarkisian has been able to bring to that program in Austin. I think you're seeing a program that's capable in the trenches at winning a couple of games and winning a couple of rounds in the playoff. They've got skill position talent all over the field, and I think the defense is really fast and physical that they're going to need to maybe match up with a couple of these different teams in the playoffs. So I would kind of put those three up there. You throw in Notre Dame, if they can get the consistency on offense. I'm not sure Riley Leonard yet has kind of shown that ceiling that he's capable of in that offense, but they're playing awfully well these last couple of weeks. Defensively, we know they're pretty stout there under Marcus Freeman, and even a team like Alabama and Ole Miss that are getting hot at the right moment. You kind of look at what they're able to do, and the talent that's already there, the coaches that they have, they are certainly capable of going on a run, and that's what really makes this year, not only just because of the expanded playoff, but because there are so many contenders, it really is going to make for a very special December in college football.
Hey, I will take this than looking at two teams that I know are just going to beat the living hell out of everybody. So I prefer this, Brian. I don't know about a further expansion, but this keeps things interesting.
Absolutely. It's going to come down to matchups. And that's what, you talk with a lot of these coaches that are involved in this. They understand because parity has been taken away, it's all going to come down to can you get those matchups, especially in the fourth quarter of some of these big-time games, to end up winning these football games. And so it's going to make for a lot of fun and a lot of hope across a lot of these teams in college football as well.
Hey, Brian, thank you again for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work?
Oh, on social at Brian D. Fisher, of course, in the pages of Sports Illustrated as well.
Hey, Brian, thank you for the time. Enjoy the rest of the ride. It's going to be a fun one. We'll catch you on down the line.
All right, sounds good.
No doubt about it. There is Brian Fisher joining us. You could catch him, NBC Sports, Sports Illustrated, covering all things college football. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're about less than a half hour away from some Monday night football action in Los Angeles between Miami and the Rams. We'll get into that. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I had mentioned this before the break as we took a look at Washington and how they played against the Steelers yesterday and the loss. Mentioned that the Dallas Cowboys, well, they got smashed by the Eagles. The Eagles are pretty much owning the NFC East right now. And then the Dallas Cowboys, well, let's just say their season is done. In the most hilarious way. We got players talking crap about the coach. It's Dallas Cowboys fun. This is all working out for the Eagles. We'll get into that on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Brian Fisher from Sports Illustrated for joining us to talk some college football. In the last break, now that we're moving towards the end of the college football season, look, I'm not trying to hit the fast forward button on nothing. Going through the holiday season, be past New Year's, college football championship here in Georgia. Then we're going to blink and it's going to be NFL draft time. Bunch of loser NFL teams, teams that suck right now. Man, they're going to be vying for who's number one and who goes here. And we'll get into that. We'll get into that later in the show. And thank you again to Brian Fisher for joining us from Sports Illustrated. I need you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you want to call me up, like we just spoke to Brian, the phone number is 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. As you just heard from Rich Ackerman, we're now about 15 minutes away from the Miami Dolphins and the Los Angeles Rams. See what they Tyreek Hill is expected to play. Let's see what the Dolphins do. I'm going to go with the Rams. Hickey, do you have an opposing opinion? You going with the Rams, the Dolphins? What do you see here?
No, I'm with you. I think the Rams win this game. I think they win this game relatively easily. I like the way they're playing on both sides of the ball. They're really coming together. And Miami, right? You just can't trust them right now. In terms of offense, what they're trying to do, they're not having a lot of success. I still don't really trust Tua in this passing game at all. Defensively, they're solid, but I don't think that they'll be able to, keep up and slow down this Rams offense all that much. I like a 10-point win here for the Rams at home.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more I don't want to say 10 or less, but I think it'll be more competitive than people think. We'll see. I still got the Rams as well as we get ready to finish up this week, another week in the NFL. Time is just a flying by. And I told you about some of these loser-ass teams. We got squads already thinking about the NFL draft. How about this? The Dallas Cowboys. What a disaster that was yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my Lord. The Eagles. go out there and smash them. 34-6. Eagles on a 5-game winning streak. The Eagles are now healthy. We think about the NFC East. We discussed how the Steelers, they took care of Washington late to hand them a L, and now the Eagles sit in first place in the NFC East. And there hasn't been a lot of positive words said about the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of it is really centered around earlier in the season, how Nick Sirianni was ultimately holding this team back. You don't hear a lot of that now. Saquon Barkley is healthy. Over here, hurtling people backwards. Got A.J. Brown is out there. Devontae is healthy. Jalen Hurts, all things considered, it looks like he's in a good spot. And so Nick Sirianni, he loves what this team is doing right now. He loves Jalen Hurts, and he loves the fact that, well, he's not turning the ball over.
Yeah, I thought he did a lot of good things. You know, obviously didn't start the way we wanted it to start. But there's something to be said for guys that can rebound and play a really good game after things don't go right early on. You know, we'll want some of those plays back. He'll want some of those plays back. But great great job handling adversity, putting his head down, continuing to work. You know, again, I say it to you guys all the time. He's a winner. He knows how to win. He knows, you know, every game's not going to be perfect. And I'm really proud of him and how he responded to a slow start. And helped lead us to a victory.
Oh, my God. The guy rushed for 2 touchdowns, 56 yards. He threw for 2 touchdowns. He threw an interception, but I mean, damn. They whooped him. Hickey, I swear, Nick Sirianni, he just be saying every and anything. Every time. From his opening press conference all the way up until now. He talks like he's never sure about what he wants to say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it feels almost like Michael Scott from The Office, where he'll just start talking and have no idea where the sentence is going, and then hopes he finds it somewhere along the way, and it will just keep on rambling until it kind of finds it. I'm with you.
Well, I've never seen one episode of The Office, so I'm going to have to believe. Yeah, I'm going to have to believe what you just told me. I've never seen The Office.
That's an American classic.
Is it?
Yes, you have to. You would like it. It's very funny.
Would I? What's that guy's name? Carell? Is that his name?
Steve Carell. Yep.
Yeah, right.
Rain Wilson is in there, who's very funny. John Krasinski.
Don't
Jenna
know.
Jenna Fisher.
Don't know who those other people
are. Ed Helms.
Never heard of him.
I mean, there are probably so many movies you've watched.
You think?
Yes. This is a star-studded cast before they were big time, too. The Office really kind of propelled them forward.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think I know the theme song. I think. Oh, that doesn't help.
I did butcher that, but I think if you watch it, you would like it.
I think I've only seen maybe 3 clips that have gone viral over the past, cuz when did this come out? 15 years ago?
Yeah, probably even maybe closer to 20. Probably closer to 20.
Wow.
You're telling me.
Oh, I've never seen one episode of this thing.
Wow.
And it's about what? Just a bunch of people working in an office?
At a paper supply company in Scranton, Pennsylvania.
No thanks, bro.
No, you would like, it's funny. And by the way, because it is 20 years ago,
They
make jokes that they definitely could not get away with if they were making it, let's say, in 2024.
Okay. All right. I like that. Crass humor.
But, it's good.
I'm sure it's funny, but I don't like offices, man. I don't work in an office. You don't work in an office either. Why I want to watch a bunch of people make comedy in an office?
Fine. Don't do it. All I'll say, your loss.
Okay. Where can I watch? Hulu? Where is it?
Peacock, I think it's the only one.
Peacock. All right. Okay. Depending on what this game looks like tonight, by the time I get home, if it's an ass whooping, I'll put it on in the background. Okay,
Hickey? Okay. That's something.
Episode 1, season 1, I assume just the pilot episode?
Pilot episode. Not bad. It's not bad. I think it does get better, but it's not a slow start, I'll tell you. It's not a slow start. You'll like it.
Okay. All right. Why doesn't somebody make this for football? Did they do this for football before?
What do you mean for football? Like make a
like the front office. The Rock did one with the agents. Remember that? On Ballers on HBO.
That's right. Yeah.
I watched Ballers. Did you like that?
I did not watch it. Not really care for it.
I saw Ballers. You saw The Office. Why
was that supposed to be a shot? You know, you're a man and I'm not?
No.
So you made it seem like.
No, I'm just saying. I saw Ballers. I didn't see The Office. You didn't see Ballers. You saw The Office. I don't know. My point is, why hasn't has somebody made like a show about a sports front office? Why don't we have that?
Great. I don't know. I mean, we have a lot of, you know, remakes and spinoffs. Maybe let's get something original here. Let's follow the life of a GM, but make it comedy.
That Lakers show. What was that about? Jerry West?
Yes. What was it? Something time. Come on. You know.
Winning time.
Winning right? time. Thank you. Thank
they
you.
They made a series about this guy. He was so upset how they portrayed him, and then he died like a year later. Come on.
Jesus, you put it that way. You make it seem like the show killed him.
I'm not saying they
Holy
did it.
Cow.
I mean, come on, man. You got to be careful when you do these things, right?
Have you watched any of the Clippers show?
Clipped? Excuse me?
You know, the FX show, Clipped?
About Donald Sterling?
Yeah. Have you watched any of that?
No.
Speaking of putting people in the grave, I think some of the portrayals there are...
Wait a minute. Didn't we interview Ramona? Isn't that her show, Ramona Shelbourne?
That was. That was her show.
Yeah, we interviewed her about the show, but no, I didn't watch, no.
Yeah, same. From what I've seen, the reviews are not great.
Yeah, we interviewed the guy from who played Bill Belichick in that Bill Belichick. No, Aaron Hernandez. I didn't watch that either.
So they do have a lot of spinoffs, I guess, if you will, of different sports events that we don't watch.
You have to be Aaron Hernandez or you have to be an evil Lakers boss. I don't know.
Nothing in between.
Or a racist owner.
That's right. No, yeah. just general GM off the table.
Yeah, we need some comedy. I mean, damn it. Didn't OJ got a show too, right?
He got like 10 shows.
Oh, yeah. None of them good. None good in his favor. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. When we come back, we're going to talk about things that are not good, like the Dallas Cowboys and the Bears. Don't move.